Welcome all. Welcome to our new trustee. Pleasure to have you here tonight. So I'll open the meeting of September 1st, 2021. And before we go, well, I should read the advisory, right? Before we do anything. Let me do that. This is the usual preface to our teleconference, video conference meetings. Pursuant to Section 3 of Executive Order N2920, issued by Governor Newsom on March 17th, 2020, this September 1st, 2021 meeting of the Board of Library Trustees will be conducted exclusively through teleconference and Zoom video conference. Please be advised that pursuant to the executive order and the shelter-in-place order, and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that could spread the COVID-19 virus, there will not be a physical meeting location available. By the way, okay, so if you're joining by phone, you can dial in, and if you want to speak, if you're part of the public and want to speak, press *9 and wait to be recognized. This meeting, okay, please be mindful that the teleconference, video conference will be recorded, as any Board of Library Trustees meeting is recorded. And all other rules of procedure and decorum will apply for Board of Library Trustees meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference. This meeting will be conducted in accordance with the Brown Act, Government Code Section 54953. Any member of the public may attend this meeting. All right, so that covers the preface, the advisory, and the explanation of what we're doing and why we're doing this. So I think we go to the oath affirmation of office, and I'll give that over to who?
I think what we should have is Beverly read that to us on screen, and then we'll have her sign it and show us on screen.
Very good.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I, Beverly Green, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter.
Okay.
Very good.
I signed it already.
There we go.
Okay. See that.
And then we'll have you mail it back to us.
Great. Thank you.
You are officially a trustee. Thank you. So, Eve.
John?
Yes.
Before we go any further, can you adjust your camera a little bit? We just see your eyes and the top of your head.
You don't want to see better. You don't want to see my face. You really don't.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. So Eve, roll call. We start there.
Hey. John Salosky.
Present.
Amy Roth.
Present.
Diane Davenport.
Present.
Beverly Green.
Present.
And Sophie Hahn, who is absent.
Okay, thank you. So we take public comment on non-agenda items only during this period. I'm not sure who's here.
Kathy Huff is here and she's got her hand raised, so.
Thank you. Thank you, Eve. Kathy, so you're up.
She can talk.
Good evening, trustees. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I am so happy to be here, even though it's virtual, with all of you, and especially to see the new trustee, Beverly. Just delighted that you're serving our community in this way. It's great to virtually meet you. Hope to meet you in person someday. Yeah. I am speaking tonight on behalf of the Berkeley Public Library Foundation. And I wanted to first say how wonderful it is to see the public coming back into the floors at the Central Library and seeing the new spaces that the foundation has helped renovate with the support of many, many donors out in the community. It's super exciting. It's great to see the teens discovering the teen room. I mean, they're slowly, you know, there's going to be a big kickoff at some point here for that room, but for now, it's just delightful to see the young people coming in and enjoying the new spaces and the other folks going upstairs to the mystery room and getting all comfortable in a seat and finding their favorite mystery. So we are just so happy to see those new spaces being used. And I wanted to also alert you that during this time is usually when we are in the middle of very serious planning for our largest fundraiser for the library, the annual author's dinner. It will be our 19th author's dinner that we're planning. But in the interest of the safety of the guests who attend that event, the staff that participate in that event, and of course the many authors that are part of that big event at the Central Library, we have decided to postpone our live event until the spring. So mark your calendar for May 21st for that author's dinner to take place. And we're hoping that will sort of maximize the opportunity for a successful in-person experience. We're even talking about maybe having it outdoors in front of the library with then the cocktail hour and the touring around the library on the inside with, you know, nice spread distance between people as they feel comfortable. But, you know, we're planning it right now, so we don't have all the answers or details for that. But I just wanted to alert you to the change in the date. I know there's a lot of things that happen in the spring in Berkeley, and we're going to be one of those great things that happen in the spring. I will also say that on February 12th, which is the original date of the dinner, we're going to have a kickoff virtual 25-minute celebration to kick off our 25 years of funding library innovation, which will be sort of the theme thread throughout our year, starting with that event on February 12th. So please mark your calendar for both of those dates, and you'll hear more about it in the coming weeks, but I wanted you to be amongst the first to know publicly that we had decided to postpone it for safety and health reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And thanks for your organization's help with the renovations and the upgrades to the Central. I've been in a few times and it looks good. It looks good. We move on to comments from the library unions. Do we have anybody here? I don't see anybody in attendance.
Doesn't look like it.
No. Okay. If somebody shows up, they can of course speak later, but doesn't look like anybody's here to speak. So we move to comments from the Board of Library Trustees. And I don't have anything to say other than I want to welcome Beverly Green again, our new trustee. Thank you for taking part and being willing to serve. I also want to thank our staff. It hasn't been it's not an easy time. There's still some uncertainty in the air. And I do appreciate the efforts of everyone. For getting the libraries at least partially opened and in use. And it's good to see that. And thank you all to staff. Diane.
Thanks, John. I just want to make a quick comment, and that is that I had not been into Central after high school got out in the many trips I've done down to pick up my holds and whatnot. So I made a special trip down yesterday at about 3:30, and I was amazed at how many kids were in the teen room using it. And as well, how many people were up in the mystery room? It seemed like that probably 2/3 of those seats were full. So I can just say my personal thanks to the foundation and Kathy and all the work that's been done, because it was lovely to see the library being so well used in both of those places. And I too want to verbally and in person welcome Beverly. I'm delighted you're here and look forward to working with you on the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Amy?
Yeah, I'm not going to sound very original, I'm afraid. I want to say welcome to Beverly, and I'm looking forward to getting to know you and work with you. That'll be great, I'm sure. I also wanted to, you know, we can't say too many times how appreciative we are of the staff and their effort. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy time, as has already been said. But let us not forget that great staff means a great leader. And I want to extend my appreciation to Tess. You know, she's kind of, if you want to call it a baptism by fire, you certainly could. You know, she hasn't had an easy road either. And I appreciate her work, her evenness, her calm, her demeanor, yet her professionalism and the desire to do as much as we can for the community in terms of making the library open and working. Good job, everyone. It's not easy these days. So great, kudos. That's it.
Thank you, Amy. And Beverly.
Hello, and thank you so much for all of your well wishes and greetings. I really am looking forward to the opportunity to give back to the City of Berkeley and to work with you on the Board of Library Trustees. I have studied at each of the, in my youth, I studied at each of the branches of the library. Now, you know, they look very different now, some of them. But I am really, really honored and appreciate the opportunity to be able to serve with you on behalf of the library. Thank you.
Thank you, Beverly. All right, thank you all. So unless there's comments from anyone else, we move on to consent. There are A, B, C, D, E, five items. If anybody wants to pull an item, say so now. And if nobody wants to pull anything, or if there are no questions, I will entertain a motion to accept the consent calendar as presented.
So move.
Thank you. And second by Diane, was that a second? Yeah, you're muted, but yeah, I thank you. Okay, Amy and then Diane. So, Eve, we need a roll call vote on this.
Okay. Trustee Solosky?
Yes.
Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
Trustee Roth?
Yes.
And Trustee Green?
Yes.
And Trustee Hahn is absent.
Right. All right. Thank you, Eve. Thank you all. Excuse me. Action calendar. So we have A, the format is a director evaluation. There is something included in the packet. So I'll let Tess start this off.
Thanks very much, John. Can everyone hear me okay? I'm not sure whether I've commented already today. Okay, thank you. So I provided a very brief synopsis of where I think the board is with respect to the process. And this, in part, I think, is helpful for Trustee Green joining us in her first meeting, just to get a sense of what has been discussed thus far. So the Board of Library Trustees was able to participate in a workshop that occurred in July of 2020. So it's funny how time flies some time ago. And that was prior to my joining the organization to discuss the onboarding of the new director with the consulting group that had helped or assisted with the recruitment of the director position. And then we held a special meeting on January 2nd to further discuss what the structure of the evaluation should look like. And then we discussed on March 3rd the need to follow up and just produce a format for the evaluation. During the discussions, there were a couple of elements described. I think that it was Amy, but I don't want to put you on the spot, Trustee Roth, had referenced one of the evaluations in particular of a different library system. And if you follow the link that's listed in the information report in the board packet, there are a few different examples of director evaluations that are on the United for Libraries website. And I think there was one or two in particular that Trustees Roth and Davenport felt were sort of better formats for the purpose. And at the same time, we discussed the fact that it would be helpful to bring in something more tangible that related to the work plan of the director and some kind of assessment that related to the director's achievement of the goals that are listed in the work plan. And so you'll see that attachment is included in the board packet as well, just so that everyone understands what the work plan goals were, what was identified, and you know how that might help to serve as a tool in evaluating the director's performance over the past year. So of course, it's hard to believe that it's September of 2021, and I believe I joined the organization possibly maybe September 23rd of 2020. And so I think that we wanted to set aside some time this evening to, if not finalize the format for the evaluation, just decide on the next steps toward the finalization of the format. I think that what I heard Trustee Roth summarize in one of the earlier meetings was, even though the work plan goals are important, it's still necessary to have some sort of format to follow. And it seemed like one of those examples, one of the four examples that were included on that website, might make sense as a starting point. So that was my understanding and assessment of where this process lies, but I'd like to leave it open at this point for others to comment and just to make sure that I'm not leaving something out, or you might have other details you wanted to add.
Okay, have to unmute myself. Thank you, Tess. That was a good summary. For Beverly's benefit, I will point out, I see your hand, Amy. I'll call on you in a minute. Okay. That Amy and Diane, I believe it was Amy and Diane, met as somewhat of a subcommittee to flesh out some ideas. And that's, you know, basically what we're looking at. And I think it's a great idea that we have maybe put something a little more concrete down if we can, but I don't want to finalize anything because Sophie's not here. I would like all board members to weigh in on this. There is a need to do this sooner rather than later, but I don't want to rush it either. But please, if there are ideas out there about how we proceed, and please let's get that out now. And Amy.
I just wanted to provide, especially for Beverly. Is Beverly, can we call you Beverly, or would you prefer a more formal Trustee Green?
Or I'm fine with whatever the standard operating procedure is, but my name is Beverly. We usually use
first name. I just wanted, since you may not be aware of part of the history, I'm not going to go on and on about it, is that we're basically starting from scratch. The last couple of directors, for one reason or another, never were evaluated by the board, which is part of our mission, really. So we are kind of starting from scratch. And for me, what that means is that the important thing is to pick something and start. And it doesn't mean that the next time we do it, it has to be exactly the same. We're learning how to do this because unless I'm wrong, I don't think any of us have ever evaluated the executive director. So that's really all I have to say is we need to start, but we don't need to stick absolutely for the next time with what we picked for this time. It's a developing project. I think Diane has her hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. Diane?
Just to throw out an idea of a way to move forward, let me tell you a little of the work that I did in a way that I think we might move ahead. One, I went over the three evaluation forms that were there, sort of looking at them, how detailed they were, how appropriate they were to us, how they are appropriate they were to what we as a board would actually know about the running of the library. And I felt that the last form there, which was just the executive director's annual evaluation form, I think it's the third one in the packet, it's just 2 pages long, and it looked to me like it might be a great starting point for us. It has, I think, just 5 sections, a customer service section, an organizational growth section, administration, finances, and then Board of Library Trustee relationship. And it was the simplest of the forms, but it also seemed most in tune with us. There were a couple of things that we probably need to change to use this form, but not much. It doesn't mention city government. It doesn't mention Friends and Foundation. It doesn't mention unions. So we might, you know, want to look at it and tweak this form a little bit for our own use. But because it looked pretty straightforward, I really suggest that we start with this form. And as a way to move forward, I wonder if in October, we couldn't have Tess come back to us and sort of go over her goals and objectives, the priorities that have been set for January 2021 to 2022, and just go over that, go over each item, say where she thinks she is and what we need to do next, or whether or not we're pretty much done. Some of those things we know about because we've talked about them in board meetings. Some of them we haven't, but that would give us a chance to hear from Tess about what's happened. After that, but before the November meeting, I would hope that each one of us could take the evaluation form and do our best to do an evaluation of the director. We could maybe send those forms to John and he could collate them. And then we could come back in November and have a closed session at the end of the open meeting for an evaluation process. It's not going to be perfect, but it would get us started. And I think if we heard what we know, if we combine what we knew with what Tess will talk to us about in October, we'd have some pretty great things to do and reference in terms of an evaluation process. And that would sort of get us to the end of the year with at least coming in close on that year-end process of getting an evaluation done. So that's sort of a suggestion for a process.
I see your hand, Amy. I'll call on you. But I, Diane, thank you. I actually agree with you on the form that you chose, the template. I think the simple one, the straightforward one, is easier to tweak to our use. There was at least one other that seemed a little overcomplicated to me. And thank you. You've really laid that out well. I like the, and I was going to ask the same thing about some tests coming back with some completion of tasks, where we are halfway with some of these tasks, where we are with these goals. And I think that's a great idea for October. I think it fits if we can work that in, if we can get it done by November. I think that's a great idea. Thank you, Diane. It's well thought out. Thank you. I'm going to ask Tess before I call on you, Amy, if you're okay with that, because this has to be mutually agreed on. So just, as you know, in theory, are you okay with what we're talking about?
Yes.
Yes. Good. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amy, go.
I think that that sounds great. I was going to ask Tess, are you comfortable? It sounds like there'll be five of us kind of presenting the evaluation to you. It seems to me a little bit outnumbered, but if you're comfortable with that, are you comfortable with that part of the suggestion?
Yes, I'm comfortable with it.
Okay. Nobody's too scary.
Well, I think the good thing about doing it together the first time is to sort of, as
Diane, we lost your audio.
Yeah.
We lost audio.
Oh,
there.
Yeah?
No, yeah. Now I got.
Are we there? Am I?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Part of the process is really just us working through an evaluation process as much as dealing with tests. So I'd sort of like us all to be together, sort of fumbling through, as it were, but talking about what works and what doesn't work and working to make it a good process. So I think that's the value of having us all together, even though it's a little cumbersome. I think we'd learn a lot together.
And then I would venture that one of the things we might want to do looking forward again is a way that we can incorporate staff input for the next time. Not for this time, but that might be one thing we could add in. Our work is never done.
Amy, I agree. I mean, the thought occurs to me, and it did, as I was thinking about this the last month or, you know, a few weeks. A staff survey, but maybe a community survey as well. It would be good to get feedback from the users and foundation and the friends and all our partners. I think for this year is maybe a little overambitious, and I readily admit that, but I think we should keep that in mind for the future. I agree with you, Amy.
Okay. All right.
Good. All right. So, Beverly, if you have anything to weigh in on, please do. If we're comfortable at this point, we don't need an action at this point. Really, what we want to do is have a sense of what we're doing and where we're going, the direction we're going. Go ahead, Beverly.
Yes, would it be helpful? I'm sorry.
So that sounds like a good plan and a good timeline to me.
Good, thank you. Diane, go ahead.
Tess, would it be helpful if I looked over that evaluation and just sent you my comments where I thought like the city should be mentioned and the friends should be mentioned and the foundation, or do you want to just look at that yourself and tweak it to be better for us?
I would definitely like your feedback if it's not too much trouble.
No.
That would be helpful.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Diane.
Okay. And I'd say, you know, anybody else, if you want to take a quick look at that and strike out things that you don't think are appropriate, let's just make a commitment to anything we want. We can just send it to task by like the middle of next week. I don't think it'll be that hard to come up with something that's more appropriate for us.
Yep, that makes sense. Thank you. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Are we comfortable? We have a sense of, I have a sense of what we're talking about, where we want to go, but make sure, I mean, just, I want everybody to be comfortable at this point. All right. This is one of the two or three more important things we do as a board. So we can move on to action calendar B. Now, this is the resumption of the Board of Library Trustee in-person meetings. So the staff's recommendation, I assume, is discuss and determine whether or not the next Board of Library Trustees meeting on October 6, 2021 will take place online or in the meeting room of the Central Library. Resolve that in the event that Executive Order N-29-20 is extended before the October 6, 2021 meeting, it will be held online. In the event that it is not, the meeting will be held in person. I like this recommendation. And just for everyone's edification, the executive order is set to expire September 30th, 2021. And Tess, is there any sense of an extension? Does anybody have any sense from the state or anybody?
When we've discussed this during city leadership team meetings, everyone has basically stated that we're not going to know the outcome or the likely outcome until after the recall election takes place.
Recall,
because they're basically just seeing the events as linked. And so it's particularly strange because it's just a wait and see right now.
Yeah, that is kind of unfortunate, but I guess it is what it is. And we'll have to deal with it. I'm not sure that we're ready for in-person meetings quite on. And anecdotally, I mean, I know someone who is fully vaccinated and came down with COVID and is not hospitalized, but is very sick. It's still out there and it's not going away. And I'm not sure in-person meetings are a really bright idea right now, but you know, we'll deal with what we have to deal with. So we have a recommendation from staff. Diane.
The other thing that I'd like to say is that I think that our meeting in Zoom has actually been advantageous to us. As a board in our meetings before, we sat at a table in front of a room looking out at an audience, not at each other. And I think our communication has been much better looking at each other eye to eye, face to face. We hear each other. We hear how long we go on if we're going on too long. We notice who hasn't spoken if they haven't, and make efforts to include them. So I'm not anxious to go to a in-person meeting if we have to wear a mask either. So I think there are a couple of things that might influence how we decide to meet next, although I'm looking forward to being in person with all of you too. But I think we've learned some things in this format that haven't been bad for us, actually.
Yeah, well put, Diane. You sure you can't attribute that to the chair, by the way? But that's another
John, I forgot to mention that. How did that slip my mind?
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me.
No, Diane, that was you kind of summarized my sense of what I've actually gotten quite accustomed to Zoom meetings, and I actually enjoy not having to go out and come back from a meeting and just log on and I'm there. It's instantaneous.
Well, I mean, John, I think you particularly, John, I've noticed who hasn't been speaking and have really drawn them into the discussion. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Diane. excuse me. So there is a staff recommendation, which I think is solid and makes perfect mm-hmm. sense because we don't really know what we're doing. So it kind of covers both bases there. anybody want to make that motion or a different one? Or what should we do here?
I'm not sure what the, let's see.
Beverly, I see your hand.
Thank you. I actually recommend that we make the decision now to have the October 6th meeting virtually. In a different industry, in the industry in which I work, we just canceled the October event, like a big October event. And for another association, they're looking at whether or not they should have an event that's scheduled in November. So, you know, I know that we are also subject to City of Berkeley recommendations, but I think it's a good idea for us to plan to have it virtually on October 6th.
Are you making that motion?
Yes.
Okay, yes. There's a motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, that was seconded by two people. I'll give it to Amy.
Seconded and thirded.
Hey, there you go. any other discussion on that? And Tess, you know, if need be, you can always, you know, pivot, right? but I mean, I would rather meet virtually at this point, quite honestly. I think it's the safe and prudent thing to do right now. Good. If there's no other discussion comments, then we can do a roll call on that. Eve?
Okay, Trustee Solosky.
Yes.
Trustee Roth?
Yes.
Trustee Green?
Yes.
And Trustee Davenport?
Yes.
And Trustee Hahn is absent.
Right. Thank you all. Okay, we have information reports. We have third quarter year-to-date budget report. Excuse me. Is Dennis here to present, or are we just...
Dennis is here and available if there are okay. questions regarding the report.
Okay. So board members, any questions, any comments? First of all, thank you, Dennis. I don't see any hands. So we're good? Mm-hmm. I think we're good. Thank you, Dennis. That was short and sweet.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming tonight, and thanks for the report. Now the outdoor pickup circulation report is next by Bay Smith, supervising librarian. I saw Bay here.
I am here. Hi.
Good.
Go ahead. To see everybody. So Eve, can you start? Can you put up the slideshow in the PowerPoint?
In a second.
Okay. If you can't, I can talk. Without it. I'm pretty familiar with the numbers, unfortunately.
I'm having trouble getting my Zoom screen to give me both my monitors.
Okay. There we go. Okay, so First, I just want to give a little bit of background, and I think you're probably all aware of this, that in March of 2020, we closed the library on March 16th, and the library was completely closed with no access to any of the materials, the physical materials in the library until we opened up again. I believe it was almost July. We did a lot of planning about that. And during that time that we were closed, the only availability that the community had to materials was our electronic resources. And we did a lot of thought about that. We were trying to meet the needs and the wants of the community. We did a lot of curation of electronic materials. An example of that would be, we had a lot of want for children's picture books. We had never had an e-collection of children's picture books. We curated that. We were buying new material every single week. We were adding new material so that the patrons had material to find. We also purchased the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post to give people access to newspapers. So this first slide, I went back to pre-pandemic to give you kind of a base of where our circulations were at, and so that you could see what was happening before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and then a full pandemic year. And so the first slide shows pre-pandemic from 2017 to 2018. And you can see that the red bar is physical. And we had started, Berkeley had started really buying electronic resources 2015, 2016. So the amount of material, it was right at kind of the very beginning. And it still, it had some usage, but not a whole lot. Still physical was more in demand. And then 2018, 2019, you can see that there was a little bump in the material and the usage. We were also purchasing more and promoting it to the public, but still print was, physical was there. Then 2019 and 2020, it was a hybrid year and we closed. There was no access really to physical materials for 4.5 months. And you can see there was kind of a bump, a sizable bump in the usage of the materials. And then in the full pandemic year, what you see here is that it's even physical materials and e-materials, the circulation. And you can see the numbers, which I think are pretty incredible. If you look at the numbers for the full pandemic year, 1,873,000 circulations from a library that really had no access to materials other than what physical materials, other than what staff is, patrons are putting holes and staff are pulling from. So that's over 900,000 checkouts. And that's all from holes, patrons placing holes. And I think it says a lot of what the library provided during and the community access that was needed at the time and what we did. So that's just an overall snapshot. If you go to the next slide, Eve. So this is a slide that shows the percentage of electronic materials for the entire. So as you can see in 2017, 2018, it was about 18% of our overall circulation, which was pretty normal for the time and the amount of the material that we had and how long we've had it. And then a little bit of bump to about 20%, the 2% bump in 2018 and 19. But then you have the hybrid pandemic year and it got a push, a 15% to 35%. And then for a full pandemic year, 2021, we're at about 48%. So we're about, even as the first graph showed. So next slide, Eve. Okay, so I wanted to just look at the physical circulation from a pre-pandemic, which 6 months is what I took. So to give a snapshot, so from July of 2019 to December of 2019, you can see that's the graph on the left. And the most circulations at that time, this is just physical, okay, is the Central Library, okay? Now, the graph on the other side, which are much smaller bars, this is pandemic. And you can see that the central physical circulation went way down. And if you can recall what was happening at that time, downtown was pretty much a ghost town. There were really, nothing was open. There were no people downtown. But as you can see, the branches kind of fared pretty well. North had a sizable amount of, and this is all, remember, there are no people in the library. This is all holds that we're pulling and providing curbside service for people. And once again, it shows the place of the library in the community and the need for it, and that people wanted what we had. Now, you can go to the next slide. Okay, so what I decided to do, we have 1 month, well, we really have two, but a full month of having the doors open and having people come into the library. So, and that's August. And so I was able to get one full month of circulation. And I think it's really interesting. And I have some other stats that I want to tell you that are not on here. But so you can see this is August of 2019. And you could see, so the big tall purple, that's virtual. And what that is, that's actual renewals that patrons are placing through the catalog. Okay, they do that their own. They're not asking us to place the renewal. They're doing that. But that in this system, we always use renewals as a checkout in our statistics because it is a checkout. So if you see here in 2019, as was showed in the previous slides, that the most physical circulation was from Central, okay? And you can see that. And then 2020, which was the hybrid year, you can see everything going down, but you can see that North is coming up with the amount of circulations they're doing from there. And then in 2021, which is the 1 month, which is August, you can already see that Central is coming back up. Claremont and THPS are right around the same. West is increasing, and North still has remained popular with people coming there. But this is only 1 month, and what I see, and what we'll have to see as time goes on as I track this, is that people do want to come into the library. I think they're still hesitant with what's happening with the virus, but they are coming back. And you can go to the next slide. Okay, so this also is from August, and it is the amount of hold, okay? So in August 2021, this is system-wide, we filled 24,849 holds, but the non-hold checkouts, which means that people came in and picked the book off the shelf, is 45,635. Okay, that's in August for the whole system. I think that's pretty amazing. I was very shocked when I saw this, because you can see the difference from 2020. It was really the other way around. There was 42,555 holds. The 2,746, you know, if somebody were to come to the outdoor pickup and ask for something, staff would go and pull it. So that's why that's there, because we didn't have anybody in the library. But then you look at the August 2019 when we were open, you can see the difference. But I think, you know, the stats from just 1 month are pretty sizable and pretty amazing. The other things that I want to tell you that I didn't have a slide for that I did last minute to let you know about numbers. So we had talked about teen, and that Diane, you said you're seeing teens in the room. Well, here's some numbers for you, which I am very excited about. So for the month of August 2021, there were 1,421 total checkouts from the Central Teen Room. okay? There were 524 checkouts from holds, and non-holds, people browsing, there were not over 900. So that's coming into the library, picking the book off the shelf. In a non-pandemic year, the total checkouts from the teen room was 1,502 compared to 2021, remember, was 1,421. There's not that much of a difference, okay? The holds in August 2019, 349 to 524 now. The non-holds, just walking in, taking things off of the shelf, 1,153. So we're almost at pre-pandemic levels when we come, when we look at what's being done with the materials in the teen room. So I'm sorry I don't have that on a slide for you, but I got those at the last minute, at the end of the day today, and thought it was exciting because of the renovation and what it means to have the teens back in the library and that they are actually using the space. So, also, I think that, you know, I got the August invoices for Canopy and Hoopla, and they're really no different than they were in July or in June. So I think people are still using those resources. One of the other things that I didn't present in the slide, which I think is very interesting during the pandemic, are resources Naxos, which is jazz and classical music, and Alexander Street. Those nearly tripled in usage during the pandemic year. And which is also really very interesting. They didn't have very high streaming prior, but it was something that people didn't have access to physical music, and they wanted that. And so we provided it in the e-resource. So overall, I think that, you know, the stats speak for themselves and say that, you know, the community values us, and we, the staff, everybody in the library has worked really, really hard to make access to the materials, whether they were physical. During the time that we were closed, we circulated material that we normally would not circulate, that were reference materials, that were non-circulating materials. We made them available for patrons. As I said, we did curations. We purchased online material and tried to make a balance. Also, during the pandemic year, I don't know if you're aware, we did a major, we've been working on the print collection as well, and collections and other staff throughout all of the branches. We worked on the biography collection, and that was over 9,000 volumes of adult just, and we did juvenile, teen and adult, but at the Central Library, there was over 9,000 volumes that we touched. We relabeled, we reordered, we replaced, and made that collection during the past 18 months totally accessible to the patrons across the whole library system. So we have been working on the print collection as well, not just the e-resource collection. Anybody has any questions? I just want everybody to know, and I said this before about, and you also mentioned it, about the hard work that staff did to make the library accessible in a very strange and unusual time.
Thank you. That was a great report. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And if you have any questions, please, you know, feel free.
I really appreciated the month-to-month, the August, just the snapshots of August. It really did. I think you get a lot of information from those. Thank you. And the teen room usage, and thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions from anyone? Beverly, I see your hand.
Thank you for sharing that report. That's quite impressive. Do we know what percentage of our users have access to electronic means? Like, have we done a survey or something? Or
I don't believe we have, but we are lending Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that there's ever been that kind of survey.
I think there was a survey that was potentially in 2018 with respect to services, and I don't want to misspeak. And I do think that in terms of our eventual preparation for a strategic planning process, we would be engaging in another kind of community survey. But I do not believe that we have one that would actually be more adjacent to the pandemic period.
And if I could ask one other question. So I think that's great with the being able to check out the Chromebooks. So do we know, like, how many Chromebooks are at each library, or how does that work if you check out a Chromebook?
We have 50 Chromebooks. Alicia? But we have 50 Chromebooks totally in the system right now.
And okay. I want to add too that thanks to Alicia, who is in the meeting, our information technology manager, she just completed, we're basically sought your authorization this evening to apply for a grant for funding that is being filtered through the federal government, but it relates to connectivity and internet access. And so through this grant, which is, again, it's going through the federal government and then through, I think, the California State Library, possibly, we would be requesting additional funding to purchase more of these. Basically, they're laptop and hotspot combination kits. And it's nice because basically people are able to place these on hold so they can pick them up at any location. But one of the things that we do intentionally for the community of folks who would prefer not to check something out and have to, you know, be responsible for equipment, people who are, you know, living without housing or stable housing, we reserve a subset of the laptops so that people can use them for the day if they want to, so that they don't have to take them home with them. So we've tried to provide flexible options. And we had that in place before we opened the buildings for indoor service so that people would be able to access computers even though they couldn't come inside the library initially.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you, Tess, by the way. And Dave. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It was a great report. Again, I want to thank our staff, all our staff, for keeping the libraries going. And not just functional, but useful and indispensable to the community in many ways. Thank you all again. All right. I think our final item on the information reports, Tess, your monthly report.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Thank you very much, Bay, for your report. And I want to thank Eve, who I understand helped with the the graphics, I think, in the report. I also want to acknowledge one of our IT staff, John Boggs, who does a lot of stuff that relates to our integrated library system. He's sort of our data person and he helps us mine the system and generate different types of reports around circulation and other things. And he's frequently doing that behind the scenes. And I just wanted to thank him for his work because it's incredibly helpful. And I think that this kind of information that really speaks to what people were able to do over the past year is extremely important. And I also just, I apologize. I want to brag a little bit more. You know, Bay showed you a slide that included a physical circulation listing of, I think, over 900,000 individual circs of items in this most recent year of the pandemic. And she commented to me because Bay works with a lot of vendors because, of course, she supports all of our collection and acquisitions. And she commented that a number of vendors have been amazed at the amount of circulation that we've had as compared to other systems. And One of the things I think that was really powerful that the staff did, and this was a series of decisions that were made, you know, before I even knew any of you, but this really related to how the staff decided to create the outdoor pickup system. And they really did maintain longer hours for pickup, a much more access for people, I think, than a number of neighboring systems were able to do, right? Because everyone had different circumstances. We had some staff deployed to the Emergency Operations Center. San Francisco Public Library had hundreds of staff deployed to their Emergency Operations Center. But I'm extremely proud of the staff who have been the backbone of this circulation operation and made that possible. And it's also just really exciting to be in a community that so values this really fundamental aspect of libraries. So I think that was very exciting. I think there's always more for us to do in terms of looking forward and trying to understand, you know, which communities were disproportionately impacted. How can we better support, you know, people who experience learning loss? So there's more to do. And I think we're excited to look forward as well. But I just wanted to mention that about the circulation. It really is quite an amazing number, 900, over 900,000. So I want to first just briefly turn to a reopening update. There's information actually that's being shared right now with respect to a new health order that the city of Berkeley is going to be issuing. And it does relate to an increase in some of the restrictions around requirements for vaccination in certain businesses. And it will also relate to requirements for certain people who support different types of industries to receive a vaccination. And this is information that's just being shared now and will become effective, I think, in many cases by September 10th. But I did want to clarify that I do not believe that the library is going to be included amongst the types of locations where we will have to vet whether or not someone has received a vaccine before allowing them access to indoor service. So I don't believe that we're going to be included in that group. But this just demonstrates, I think, that the situation, unfortunately, with the Delta variant is escalating and the city is responding with increased restrictions. And there's going to be more information about that soon. Initially, there was a restriction or a health order issued on August 7th that reinforced the requirement to wear masks indoors. And I really appreciated in some ways that this was happening because the library never discontinued masking. And we've always been trying to reinforce this rule. And I also want to acknowledge that staff has in general, I think been met with some success around this, but I do want to say that we're seeing some incidents that relate to a few individuals confronting staff over the need to wear a mask. So that is something that has arisen and staff has dealt with it successfully. And it certainly is a minority of folks and not the majority, but it's something that we've seen happen, some challenges around that as well. I also want to mention that on August 11th, our city manager, D. Williams Ridley, did communicate to all city employees that the city would be initiating a meet and confer process with all of our unions, collective bargaining units, over a potential or a new policy that would require vaccine, that would basically be a mandatory vaccine policy as a condition of employment. And I just wanted to provide the update that the city is still engaging in the meet and confer process with respect to this, and that it has not yet been resolved. But of course, this would potentially impact library staff, and I think it's important to report. I also wanted to say that basically by the end of June, the library had reopened all of its locations for indoor service, and we've restored almost all of our original operating hours. I want to clarify that we have not restored our evening hours, which is our next goal. When we're able to shore up our staffing levels, I think it's important to provide evening access as a value to the community. And I think that we're all in agreement on that. We also have one location west where due to the staffing level for the first part of the day, we're doing outdoor service only, but the rest of the locations are full service at this point. And I'm really proud of that. I know the staff are, and we're trying to be very careful to manage the reopening process in a level or at a pace that's sustainable with our staffing levels, which was a commitment that I made in the context of our joint labor management work. I'd like to switch gears and talk a little bit about recruitment. First off, we've been able to recruit 9 of our 11 budgeted library aide positions, and they report across the system. We have new staff at every location, and a number of these staff have been working already for several weeks, and it's really been a joy to see some of our veteran staff, particularly some of our veteran supervising library assistants, really take the lead in orienting and making sure that the new staff have a positive experience. We are in process for the recruitment for the supervising librarian position. This is a significant leadership position in the library. We have a vacancy for our adult services team at Central, and we also have an upcoming vacancy for our children's team at Central, and we need to fill both of these positions. I think it's extremely important that we're able to fill these positions so that we're able to engage these new leaders in recruiting all of the librarians that we need to recruit after that. And last but not least, I want to mention that we're basically hoping to conclude our fiscal administrative services manager recruitment. And I think it's very likely that this may be Dennis's last meeting with everyone. So I want to sort of just pause for a moment and acknowledge Dennis. And I just want to say that, you know, he's been such an important anchor and support for the library, and he frequently does his work behind the scenes. But his team is amazing. The support he's provided to his team is amazing. And he's such an asset to us, not just for all of his experience, but for his extremely high standards with respect to integrity and, you know, making sure that our processes are, that we're following the processes to the best of our ability, and, you know, that everything is as accurate as possible. And I just can't thank you enough, Dennis, for agreeing basically to continue supporting the library over the past year, even though I know that it has been his intent to retire for some time. So I just wanted to mention that briefly. And I just want to also move on to something that is a little bit more challenging, I think, for the library right now. And I know challenging for many of us that are here in this meeting. And I want to acknowledge that a longtime member of the Berkeley Public Library staff, Shiok Lim, passed away in August. And she was a fantastic librarian that supported our cataloging and our collection management for many, many years. And I think, you know, everyone I've spoken with has just talked about not just the way that she impacted them, you know, personally, but her passion and commitment for the library and how much she cared about the library and providing a high quality of service. And I think this is tragic. And I want to be clear that it's really affecting staff a lot. It's affecting staff morale, and staff has also experienced some other losses as well, unfortunately, this same month. And we're a relatively small team. And something like this is not something that people work through right away. And so I just want to mention that, you know, I think given the confluence of these events and the, you know, the state of the pandemic and these losses, I think that people are having a harder time than they had been. And I just want to be transparent about that. Moving on with respect to, I think, some really positive, wonderful developments that people are really excited about. The community is so thankful for the outdoor in-person programs that the staff has been able to provide. And these have just been a joy to observe. And we've gotten such amazing feedback about the story times we've been able to do in person. I think it really makes a difference to people that we're able to do that. And I also just want to highlight staff creativity. So there were three staff, Sierra Gribble, Casey Brain, and Amy Reeder, who launched basically a scavenger hunt via social media. And, you know, we had not done something like this before, and it turned out to be incredibly popular. And it involved basically that the team would post clues to try to encourage people to explore Berkeley outside. And there was always a tie-in with the library and books and reading. And then people would have to basically show themselves at the spot when they found it and then tag themselves on social media to show that they had found the spot. And so, of course, it was a contest and we had some winners and we had a lot of local sponsors provide prizes, but it turned out to be also a hugely popular program. And I think just is a testament to the ingenuity of people in these sort of strange times. How can we engage in a safe way? I'm also happy to mention that we will be having a dance performance on September 18th at Terea Hall Pittman South Branch. They're hosting a performance of La Mezcla, which is a music and dance ensemble that's local that combines Latino and indigenous influences. And I think that this kind of performance at this time is gonna be really well received. And so we're looking forward to that. And last but not least, I'm happy to say that there are three library locations that are serving as ballot drop box sites. Again, for this election, Claremont, North, and West Branches, all of ballot drop boxes, and will be serving as such for the gubernatorial recall election that's coming up. And I think that this is a very important role that libraries play and have traditionally played in supporting our democracy, supporting voter registration, and everything else that comes along with that. So I'd like to conclude and invite any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Tess. Very thorough. questions? Beverly, I see your hand.
Thank you. So do staff have, access to EAP programs given the losses that have happened lately, employee assistance programs?
Thank you for mentioning that. They do indeed have that access. We appreciate that the vendor that we work with is flexible, and so people can participate in groups or individually. I've also heard about some interventions in other library systems that just involve staff discussion groups that are sort of just times to meet and connect and have conversations. Some systems do that with their staff that is a social worker, and that's been something that I've heard is helpful that we might look into. We are budgeted actually to recruit a social worker eventually, but we have not initiated that recruitment. It's something that we're looking forward to though, because I think it would really help provide some support, both in terms of the community and also for the staff.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Amy Ross, go ahead.
John, every time I hear you say, go ahead, It takes me back to my childhood.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay.
Go ahead.
Tess. So, is there a timeline or for a deputy director search? So you can get a little help.
Thanks for mentioning that. Help is always positive. This is how I'm thinking about it right now. We're basically just making decisions as we go with respect to the prioritization of positions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I invite a lot of feedback into as well. And while I do think that position is important, I'm more likely to probably recruit for the permanent library services manager prior to the deputy position for a couple of different reasons. One is that if I'm able to recruit for those library services manager positions, it would help a lot in terms of providing more support to our frontline supervisors who currently don't have managers, which I think is a really significant issue. The flip side of that is that I've been working with people more directly, and so I have a much better understanding of what some of the issues are, concerns, needs, also just ideas, what's in development. I'm just learning much more being in direct contact, but it's not sustainable for the organization in terms of our ability to move forward and make sure that we have support, as much support as needed for all these staff. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that we do have our racial justice advisory group, which we call RJAG here internally. That's our acronym. And this group, of course, launched last year, and they've really been spending a lot of time participating in trainings that have been hosted by the Government Alliance for Racial Equity, and then the organizers of this initiative for California Public Libraries. And one of the things that the group will eventually be working on is an action plan, a racial equity action plan for the library. And they're not at that point because they're still really, in the early stages of going through the orientation and connecting as a group and making decisions about what the priorities need to be for the library. But I do anticipate that the group will eventually have suggestions or recommendations that relate to staffing also. There could be, for example, a recommendation to introduce a diversity or equity officer into the library. And so I'm interested in maintaining some positions, maintaining some flexibility with positions so that we could potentially accommodate something like that. But I think that the group really needs to be doing that work and developing those recommendations. And so we're not at that point, but at some point we may be. So I apologize, that was a very long-winded response, but just to give you a sense of how I'm thinking about that.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Tess. Anybody else? And before we close or move on to future agenda items, I want to thank Dennis also. The time I've spent on the board, the budgets have been very well put together and very thorough. I grew to trust you, Dennis, and I don't say that lightly. And that doesn't mean I wasn't keeping an eye on things, but there is a level of trust that is really helpful for a board member. I knew you were looking at things and taking care of things, and I could trust that part of it. Thank you, Dennis, and good luck in wherever you're going from here. So if there's nothing else from Tess or board members, Diane, is that your hand or you're making adjustments?
I just want to say that another great skill Dennis had was explaining budgets from the get-go to those of us who didn't understand them. And I can say that as a former staff member, how much I learned from Dennis about budgets. And then coming on the board, looking at it from another perspective and having to see it from a much fuller view. I just really appreciate somebody who's patient with those of us who aren't so fond of statistics as Dennis is. So thank you to him from me as well.
Thank you, Diane. All right. I think we can move. We have a future agenda item in the director's evaluation process, certainly for October and probably for November, the next couple of months. Is there anything else? And Beverly, Amy and I, the president and vice president, meet once a month with the director. And by the way, I've had, you know, my own personal meetings with Tess and others, and you can initiate that anytime you feel you might need that. But we meet, 10 days before the meeting, our board meeting for the agenda, you know, setting an agenda.
Yeah.
So if anything comes up between now and then, you can always contact me, Amy, Tess. You know, if something pops up and you think it should be on the agenda or should be discussed or an information item or whatever, right? You can always add that by getting in touch with any of us. Probably the best thing to do is to get in touch with all of us so that it's covered. And so other than the director's evaluation, do we have anything else we want to add for Diane?
We had talked about sort of wrapping up our Bolt member selection process, in that if we continue to have as many applicants as we this time, do we want to do some pre-screening so that we don't have to at the board meeting interview verbally all 20 people, or do we want to, you know, consider changing that process a little in any way?
It's a really good point. Should we have a little discussion in October about that? Tess, did you have your hand up? Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to explain that I think that language would probably be in the bylaws that we, of course, have yet to adopt. And so I think that it would make sense. And that doesn't preclude a discussion about what you think would work better. But I do think that it will formally need to be incorporated into the bylaws. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing we could potentially do is you could collect your feedback around it. And then we could try to create a section that addressed that or captured that.
I know that they had gotten pretty far on developing the bylaws. Do you know if there's anything about that in the proposed bylaws now, Tess?
I need to review it, honestly.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Okay. And where we are with that is I've been talking with some of my colleagues who know more folks in California libraries, good, just given that I'm coming from Washington.
Good.
And we're trying to identify, our agreement was that we would be sharing them with a consultant first, somebody who with public library experience who could review them. We do have a proposed draft, though. We are at the point where there's a draft of the bylaws. Mm-hmm. But in terms of your question, I would need to review them to see if they currently include content around recruitment of trustees.
All right. So can you get back to us in October about what the status there is, mm-hmm, and the bylaw status too?
Yes. In fact, it will be a component of the conversation because you've requested feedback from me about the status of the work plan. There are a number of things that we've touched upon that are in the work plan, and that project is one of them.
Great.
All right.
We'll also have a couple other items, things like the yearly Bolt schedule, the library holidays and early closing schedule, and the dates for the all staff meetings. So we'll have those for you.
In October?
Yes.
Thank you. Good. Yeah. We're coming toward the end of the year, aren't we? All right. Anything else? Final words from anyone? If not, then we can entertain a motion for adjournment.
So move.
Second.
Okay. That's Amy and Diane.
Yeah.
And we need a roll call on that.
Trustee Solosky.
Yes.
Trustee Roth.
Yes.
Trustee Davenport.
Yes.
And Trustee Green.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're done, folks. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Beverly.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay well.
You too. Bye-bye.